Welcome to the Painesville Assembly of God podcast. We're always encouraged to know God is working through this ministry to touch lives. So if you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know by sending us an email at info@painesvilleag.com. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
This is mercy. We're going to be looking at a relational subject today that every one of us deal with. I don't care who you are in your life. You deal with this. We all deal with relational issues. How many of you deal with relational issues? Yeah, we deal with relational conflict. We deal with relational issues. And the truth is there are promises in God's word. And this particular promise we're going to talk about over the next 2 weeks in terms of forgiveness, and that aspect of mercy will impact every corner of your life, not just your relationships, but literally, if you understand the freedom that you have through Christ Jesus and being forgiven, if you understand the power of forgiving somebody else, it literally will impact every corner of your life. How many of you know that when you are harboring unforgiveness, or when you are feeling guilt and shame in your life and you don't experience forgiveness that God offers, how many of you know it can begin to impact you physically? It impacts you relationally. It impacts you spiritually. It impacts you emotionally. What we are talking about is something that will impact every area of your life. That's how important it is. That's how important it is. Now, the definition of mercy that we've been working off of is twofold. It's both unearned kindness and undeserved forgiveness. Unearned kindness and undeserved forgiveness. Mercy is broad. It doesn't require forgiveness. You can be merciful to somebody that never hurts you, that never harmed you, that doesn't owe you anything, that doesn't need your forgiveness. Mercy is broad in that way. However, you cannot experience or offer or receive forgiveness without the characteristic or the virtue of mercy. Mercy is a part of forgiveness. You cannot have forgiveness without mercy. And so being that mercy is a part of forgiveness, forgiveness actually goes deeper than mercy, because forgiveness goes something very personal to us, something down deep. Part of mercy in this area of forgiveness is this key component, and we see it in the Lord's Prayer, where Jesus is teaching his disciples how to pray. And in Matthew 6:12, I'm going to read the New Living Translation in this one. It says this: "Forgive us our sins as we have been, as we have forgiven those who sin against us." Forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. Now, this is part of that prayer that Jesus taught us how to pray, and you can see that forgiveness is twofold. It's not only receiving the forgiveness of God, but it's also offering forgiveness to others. It's twofold. It's receiving the forgiveness of God, and it's forgiving others. Now, it's really important, because as we talk about this idea of forgiveness, in order for us to really begin the stepping stones, and we say, well, I've had relational conflict. Somebody's hurt me. You don't understand what they've done. You don't understand how deep it goes. I can't just let them off the hook like that. And I can't just, I struggle with forgiveness. We're going to maybe tap into that a little bit today if there's time. But you can't get there until you understand the first part of this. And that is how much God has forgiven you. That's where it all starts. It all begins with that foundation. And so it's really important, as we talk about this aspect of mercy and this aspect of forgiveness, to understand this twofold part of forgiveness. And the first part of this is this: mercy means God forgives me. Mercy means God forgives me. Man, I don't know about you, but that's the greatest good news there ever is. When you hear the word gospel, the gospel means good news. That's what it's all about. That forgiveness is available. Forgiveness is available. God, through His mercy, desires to forgive me. It's not merely a theological fact. It's a personal gift from God. Now, to get into the personal side of things a little bit, let me ask you a question this morning. And I want you to be honest with yourself. You know, I don't want you to answer back to me, but I want you to think about it. And I want you to, I really want this to be a probing question today. And here's the personal question I want to ask you. We know it cerebrally that God forgives us. I mean, we heard the amens. But let me ask you this. Do you feel forgiven? Do you feel forgiven? Come on. I mean, I know the fact. I know the facts are there. I know that the amen should be. And if you've been a believer for any length of time, or you've heard about the fact is there, and you say, yes, I know I'm forgiven. I know I'm forgiven. But that's not the question I'm asking. I'm not asking you if you know you're forgiven. I'm asking you, Today, do you feel forgiven? Do you feel forgiven? Or do you, you know, because one of the things that I hear people say all the time is, man, I just feel so guilty. Oh, I just feel so guilty. How many have ever said that before? I just feel so guilty. How many have ever said, I just feel so forgiven? I mean, really. I don't hear that very often. I don't hear people going around going, man, I just feel so forgiven. We hear people say, man, I feel so guilty. Oh, I feel so ashamed. There's this thing, I should have done this, I should have done that, Mother's Day is coming up and I hear the term mom guilt all the time. How many have mom guilt? Yeah, some of you, that's me, yeah. Mom guilt, yeah. I don't ever hear dad say I have dad guilt. Why is that? I don't know. But oftentimes we carry around guilt, we carry around shame. We oftentimes know that we're forgiven, but oftentimes we don't feel forgiven. And let me tell you something. When you feel guilty, when you feel guilt, and there's guilt, you don't want to be around somebody who makes you feel guilty. How many know that? If there's somebody that makes you feel guilty in a relationship, they're just always making you feel guilty, they're always making you feel bad about yourself, and you didn't do this right, and you didn't do this right, and you didn't do this right, and you didn't do this right. Some of you are looking at your marriages, don't talk about that right now. You know, I didn't know. How many know guilt moves you away from somebody? Doesn't it? Guilt separates you. Guilt moves you away. When I feel guilty about something, or I have a relationship that is awry, and I feel guilty because I've done something that has been a part of that relationship, then I don't even want to enter into that. I don't want to get close to that person. I want to try to keep them at arm's bay. I want to try. Maybe we'll have a nice, hospitable relationship, but that's about it. I'm not going to get close to you if you make me feel guilty. And this is so critical because even though we might know we're forgiven, if we don't feel forgiven, but every time we think about God, we think, oh, I'm so guilty. Oh man, I did this wrong and I did this wrong and oh my goodness, this is terrible. Then we don't want to get close to God. We've been talking about take me in. We sang it, take me in, and you know, a miracle can happen and here open heaven and I'm here. And all. But if we feel guilt, we don't want to be in the presence of God. We don't want to be around people who make us feel guilty. So I think that we have to begin to understand this idea of forgiveness, not so much cerebrally, but my hope is this morning that you will understand forgiveness in a way that you feel forgiven, that you recognize that Jesus Christ did die for you and that He does forgive you. And as you experience that forgiveness of the Lord, rather than feel guilt that would move you away, that forgiveness would draw you in, to the closeness of a relationship with God. Now the truth is, there's a myth out there that somehow feeling guilty makes you a better person. Feeling guilty makes you a better person. Nobody wants to say that, but some of us feel like that. Let me tell you something. Feeling guilty doesn't make you a better person, it makes you a miserable person. Some of you are miserable, and you want to be miserable. People try to comfort you, and you get a payoff from that. So you don't want to feel forgiven because you like that, feeling bad about yourself and being the martyr and carrying it around and, oh my goodness, yes, I know, but I'm just so bad. It's called humility. No, it isn't. That's not humility. That's reverse pride because you're still drawing attention to yourself and everything is about you. I'm just calling it what it is. Now you feel guilty. So we'll talk about forgiveness, right? Four truths about forgiveness. Truth number one, God wants to forgive me. God wants to forgive me. You say, that's kind of, yeah. Well, of course, God wants to forgive me. Duh, right? God wants to forgive me. Some of you don't believe God wants to forgive you. You believe God wants to forgive, but it's somebody else, not me. God wants to forgive that person. God wants to forgive that person. But see, God knows me and He knows all I've done. God doesn't want to forgive me. No, friends. God wants to forgive you. In fact, in the Living Bible, the way it reads in Nehemiah 9:17, it says, you are a God of forgiveness, always ready to pardon. Gracious, and here's our word, merciful, slow to become angry, and full of love and mercy. Listen, God is not a God with a short temper. He's not a God with a short temper. He is long-suffering. He is patient, not wanting any to perish, but all to come to eternal life. If you read through the history of Israel, if you read through the New Testament, what you will find is God doesn't have a short fuse. He doesn't have a short fuse. Why? Because he's always lingering and waiting and watching and saying, come on, I'm going to give you another chance. Come on, get this right. Come on. And so sometimes he may allow circumstances to come into your life or consequences to come into your life that make it a little bit difficult, a little bit harder. And say, come on. Come on, I want you to get it. I want you to get it. I want you to understand. I'm here to forgive you. I want you to get it. Why? I want to forgive you. I don't have a short fuse. I'm not looking to punish you. I want to forgive you. I want to forgive you. God is not reluctant to forgive you. He loves forgiving you. He is full of mercy and love. He is always ready to pardon. Always ready to pardon. And that's a characteristic. Micah 7:18 says this. Micah said this, New International. This is what Micah said. Who is a God like you who pardons sins and forgives the transgressions of the remnant of his inheritance? You do not stay angry forever. But look at this. You delight to show mercy. God delights in showing mercy. You love to pardon. That's scandalous. Man, I love the language. God delights in showing us mercy. That's how God feels about forgiveness. That's how God chooses your forgiveness. God wants to forgive you. I think we all need to say it. Only say it personal. I want you to say, God wants to forgive me. Come on, say it again like you mean it. Yeah, God wants to forgive me. God wants to forgive you. Well, then what prevents us from feeling forgiven? Man, if we can say that God wants to forgive me, then why don't we feel forgiven? What prevents us from feeling forgiven? I think to answer that question, I think we need to clarify a little bit on forgiveness, a little bit, and what's necessary for forgiveness to take place. First of all, forgiveness is relational, which means it's two-dimensional. Forgiveness is relational. Love is one-dimensional. Forgiveness is two-dimensional. Two-directional. I keep saying dimensional. Directional. Excuse me. It takes two parties. Two parties. It takes one who is doing the forgiving and one who needs the forgiveness, doesn't it? In order for forgiveness to happen, it means that there's some kind of a wrong that has taken place, some kind of a debt that has been owed, something that's happened that there's inequity within the relationship. And so you have the person who is the offending party, and you have the person who's been offended who is the forgiving party. Right? It's two directional. So how does this work? Because if I were to say to you, hey, I'm so sorry, you'd say, what are you sorry for? What'd you ever do to me? Well, maybe I did something to you, and then you know. But for most of you, what have you done? What have you done? I have nothing to forgive you. In order for their forgiveness to take place, there has to be a realization that something is requiring forgiveness. Lewis Schmid said, forgiveness always comes with blame attached. It always comes with blame attached. When God forgives, it means that we've wronged him. Every sin in your life and mine is a personal sin and offense against God. It's against God. Now, let me give you a couple examples in Scripture. How many of you know a guy by the name of Paul who wrote most of the New Testament? Before he was Paul, he was known by Saul. Before he was Paul, he was known by Saul. And he was a persecutor of Christians. In fact, he didn't like this new Christian faith. He was zealous for the Jewish faith. He saw Christianity as something that was heresy, that was taking people away, following a faction that was away from God, and he did not believe in Jesus. And so he was persecuting Christians, even to the point of having them murdered. A guy by the name of Stephen who was murdered. You see it in the book of Acts, Stephen being murdered. Saul is standing there collecting the coats, giving his approval. In fact, when Saul met Jesus, he was on his road to arrest and persecute and put on trial and hopefully kill some people who were believers of the way or the Christian faith. And when God got a hold of Saul as he was on the Damascus road, this is what the scripture says. It says this, that Jesus said to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Me. Hey, wait a minute, I'm not persecuting you, it's the people who follow you. I didn't do anything to you, I wasn't there, I didn't put you, I wasn't the Roman soldiers, I wasn't the ones to put you on the cross. Jesus says, no, what you do to them, you are doing to me. To me. Our sin, even if it's against another person, is personal to God, and God first. When we sin against God. You say, I don't know about that. Well, let's go back to the Old Testament. David, who committed adultery with Bathsheba and then committed murder against her husband, lied All kinds of things. He gets convicted by the Holy Spirit. And Psalm 51 is his psalm of repentance. And look at what David writes. In verse 4, David says this, "Against you and you only have I sinned." Who's he talking to? He's talking to God. Wait a minute, against you and you only? Hold on, you took advantage of Bathsheba. You murdered her husband. And you lied to the people of Israel. What do you mean? This is, against you have I sinned? Yes, because David recognized something. That ultimately his sin was against God first, and God was the righteous judge. Revenge is mine, saith the Lord. God is a just judge. Ultimately, for every sin we commit, whether it's against another person or whether it's something that is deeply personal against the law of God, we've got to recognize that our sin is against God, and that we will answer to God, and that one day we will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. That's heavy stuff. I didn't expect a whole lot of amens with that one. I expected the room quiet. That's heavy stuff. But we got to understand that we sinned against God. And so if we've sinned against God, ultimately, who do we need forgiveness from? Before we can offer forgiveness to anybody else, or before we can be forgiven, where do we got to start? We got to start with God. Secondly, God forgives not only when a wrong has been done, but He also forgives when repentance begins. See, the story of the prodigal son makes it wonderfully clear. The son left home. He was in rebellion against God. But when he came to his senses and he had a change of heart and he began that long journey home in humility, his heart was, I'm going to go back and serve. I'm just going to go back. I'm going to go back and serve. I'm going to go back and prove. I mean, I've messed up. I'm not expecting anything in return. All I'm asking for is mercy. That's all I want. When he was heading back, he was asking his father for mercy. Let me just work for you because your servants are treated better than those others. I just need mercy. And what did we see? At the first sight of the son coming home, what's the response of the father? He runs to him and he kisses him. And he says, I'm not worthy to even be called your son. I'm not worthy. I'm not here for that, Dad. I'm not here for that, Dad. I'm not here for that. He goes, I don't care what you're here for. My son was dead, but now he's home. He's alive. This son of thine was dead. He put the ring on his finger. At the very sight, the very first part of showing repentance, the father ran and restored the relationship. When repentance begins, God wants to forgive at the first sight of repentance. It wasn't, all right, well, we'll see, son. We'll see. All right, I'll give you a little bit of a job and we'll see. We'll see if you've really changed or not. That's a human response, but that's not God's response. That's a human response, but that's not God's. God's response is, man, my son is home. Come on, let's have a party. Let's have a party. Let's get everybody together. And that is a picture. God wants to show mercy. He delights in showing mercy. He delights in pardoning. Repentance is a process that every one of us as believers go through. And be honest with you, in repentance and completeness, it's not going to be complete until we get to heaven. All right? We're always in process. I don't think any of you are perfect. All right? Can I just say that as your pastor? Can I be honest with you? I know you've heard it from your spouse, but let me let you hear it from me. You're not perfect. You need things you need to repent about. It's true. It's true. You need Jesus. So God forgives when repentance begins. And forgiveness is always tied to the beginning of repentance. The Bible never suggests that there is forgiveness without repentance. Okay? Can I just say that? When people rejected Jesus in John 8:21, this is what Jesus said, I'm going away and you'll seek me, but you'll die in your sin. You'll die in your sin. Why? Because there was no repentance. Where there is no repentance, there is no forgiveness. God wants to forgive, but one of the things that holds Him back and that handcuffs Him from being able to forgive is when we don't repent, when we're not willing to take ownership and admit that we've sinned against God. If you can't admit that you've sinned against God, then there is not salvation and forgiveness. So perhaps today you're not feeling forgiven because you have shown no repentance. I'm not talking about remorse. Remorse and repentance are different. Remorse says, I'm sorry, I don't want to experience these consequences. I'm only sorry because I don't like the consequences, but I don't really intend or want to change. Because deep down, I don't really think I've done anything wrong. So I'm going to continue with what I want to do, doing it my way, And I feel bad when there's consequences associated with that, and I want to associate blame on everybody else, and I want to continue to remain a victim because it's really not my fault. I'm a victim of circumstances and everything else that's going on, and you don't understand. And I really have no intention to change because I'm still going to make all the excuses that I want to make to continue doing what I want to do. That's remorse. That's remorse. Repentance says, I don't want to keep going in that direction. I don't want to do that. I want to go in a new direction. I'm not doing that. I'm going in a new direction. No, I need your help. I can't do it anymore. I'm throwing myself on your mercy. And only God knows the heart, okay? God knows the difference between a heart that's repentant and a heart that's remorseful. All right? Can I just say that? God knows the heart. Now, we might want to judge that and say that person doesn't look repentant. That person just looks remorseful. I can't judge that. Only God judges the heart. But you know that. You know the attitude of your heart. You know when your heart is really designed to be repentant, and I don't want to do that again, and I don't intend on doing that again, and I'm not going to do that again. I really, everything in me, I don't want to. And you know the heart that says, well, yeah, you got me this time, but you're not going to get me the next time. I'll do better hiding it the next time. Come on. I'm preaching truth here, friends. So maybe you don't feel forgiven because you haven't really repented. That's where it begins. But let me tell you something, friends. God wants to forgive you. God is eager to forgive you. Truth number two, God freely forgives me. God freely forgives me. He not only wants to forgive me, but he freely forgives me. Romans 3, 23 and 24, for all sin and fallen short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through redemption that came by Jesus Christ. The forgiveness of God is free. We don't earn it. We can't deserve it. It's a gift of grace. And it's free not because it wasn't costly. It's free because it doesn't cost me. It didn't cost me. The punishment that I deserved, I didn't have to. Why? Because Jesus Christ atoned for my sin on the cross by taking the punishment that I deserve. That's the requirement for God to be both just and loving. He's got to be both holy and loving, both just. He wouldn't be loving if he didn't hold people accountable for their sin. And yet at the same time, in order to be able to satisfy the righteous requirement of the law, he had to have the wages of sin being death. There had to be somebody who took that punishment upon themselves. And that was Jesus Christ. Therefore, when Jesus Christ died on that cross, when he shed his blood, atonement took place. And all those who receive that gift of grace through Jesus Christ experience his forgiveness and salvation. Not because it was free to Jesus, it's freely a gift given to us because Jesus paid the price. That debt, that's what forgiveness is, a debtor relationship. And there was a debt. And no matter how much we would try to follow the law, no matter how many good deeds we try to do, they never outweigh the bad. They never do it. No matter how much you do, it doesn't outweigh it. You still have that over your head. There is a price. There is a punishment. There are wages of sin. His death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus, Romans 6:23. Think how extraordinary difficult it is for God to forgive. When he created the world, all he had to do was speak it into existence. Let there be light, and there was light in Genesis 1:3. But when it came to forgiveness, he couldn't just simply say, let them be forgiven. He had to satisfy it. And he satisfied it through Jesus Christ. Now, again, I shared that maybe you don't feel forgiven because maybe you haven't repented. But let me tell you something else. There may be another reason or two why you don't feel forgiven. Maybe perhaps you don't believe it. You just don't believe it. You don't believe that it's true. Even though that many people, their lives, billions and billions of people, their lives have been changed by the fact of Jesus Christ dying on the cross, you struggle with that. Is Jesus really who he is? And if you struggle with that, we've got to wrestle through that. You've got to wrestle through that and find out. But if you don't believe who Jesus is, if you don't really believe this about the cross and being necessary and all that kind of stuff, then you're not going to feel forgiven if you don't believe it. But I think secondly is that sometimes we think we don't deserve it. We think we don't deserve it. Anybody ever wrestled with that one before? You know, I have a hard time accepting the truth. I know it. In my knower, I know it, and I want to say I believe it. I believe Jesus. I believe that the cross. I believe in this atonement, and that's great. And again, I believe it for everybody else, but man, that's great, but I don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. You know, I know that God forgives me, but I just can't forgive myself. Anybody ever said that before? You know, and what we're saying is it's easier for God to forgive you than for you to forgive yourself. And the problem is you're putting yourself above God. In other words, you're saying that the blood of Jesus Christ is not enough. That you need more. You need more than the blood of Christ. Where the blood of Christ satisfied God enough to forgive you, the blood of Christ isn't enough for you. Boy, I don't know about that. See, that's where we have to understand this area of deserving. None of us deserve it. That's called grace. That's the miracle of mercy. That what we don't deserve, God gives us anyway. You don't need anybody else or anything else or yourself to pay for your sin. You can't do it. And if you do, that's hell. And God doesn't desire for you to go there. He doesn't want you spending eternity there. Why? Because He already paid the price through Jesus Christ. It's a gift. You just got to receive the gift. And God thought you were valuable enough to purchase your life by His blood. Truth number three, God immediately forgives me. He immediately forgives me. It's not like God says, man, that particular sin was so bad. You know what? You got to wait on that one a while. You got to sit with that guilt a while. You got to sit there and experience it. And you know, and then after a little while, when I know you've really gotten how bad it is of what you've done, and you've then I'll forgive you. You know, take two and call me in the morning. No, it's not like that. It's not like that. God immediately forgives you. Isaiah 55:7, let the wicked leave their way and change their way of thinking. Let them turn to the Lord our God. Why? He is merciful, and look at this, quick to forgive. He's merciful and He's quick to forgive. Quick, I love it. When you turn to the Lord, God is merciful. Just like that prodigal son, man, when he saw there was a repentant heart, man, he went and embraced. It was immediate. God immediately forgives you. God forgives you. Truth number four, God completely forgives me. Completely. That means absolutely, totally, God forgives me. And when God forgives, there's no part of sin that is not forgiven. There's no part. It's not like He holds a little bit back. It's not like He says, I'm going to forgive a little bit over here, but not this over here. This was too much over here. I'll forgive this, but I'm not going to forgive this. But not this. God forgives you completely. Completely. Colossians 2:13-14 makes this abundantly clear. It says this, God forgave all our sins. He canceled the record that contained the charges against us. This is legal language. This is legal language. There are charges. There were charges against us. Sin that was charged to our account. Sin that was a ledger that was charged. When we came up, there was a record. We had a record. There's a record. A record of all that we'd done. A record of all of our sin. And we stand before the righteous judge. We stand before God. And there is our record. Our record of sin. Our record of everything we've ever done to sin against God. To sin against His law. To sin against others. There it is. Out in the open. Right there. You stand before God and you don't have a prayer. There's not a prayer because it's right there, all the charges against you. All the evidence is right there. He said, but God forgave all our sins and He canceled the record that contained the charges against us. He took it and He destroyed it. Look at this, by nailing it to Christ's cross. There is no record. That's good news. Why? Because that's freedom. When I'm not walking around with something hanging over my head, a list of all the things, and I'm not walking around guilty, and I'm not walking around in shame, and I'm not walking around in fear, trying to hide it, trying to keep it back, trying to say, oh, that's not me. Oh, no, I got to keep that down. Oh, I got to keep that down. Oh, I got to keep that back. Oh, no. But you walk up and you go, look at this. It says there is nothing. There is nothing charged to my account. It's free. It's forgiven. It's wiped out. It's clean. As far as the east is from the west, Scripture says, I remember your sins no more. In fact, Scripture goes on to say that they're literally at the bottom of the ocean. Micah 7:19. You will have, here's our word, mercy. That's why it's a miracle of mercy. You will have mercy on us again. You will conquer our sins. You will throw away all our sins into the deepest part of the sea. Woohoo! There's no deep diving for your sin. If Jesus isn't deep diving for your sin, you shouldn't either. Don't go deep diving. God has completely annulled your sin. You got to recognize the grace and forgiveness that has. And I'm praying that not just up here, but that the Holy Spirit reveals it in here, that you feel forgiven. You don't just know you're forgiven, but you feel forgiven. Because those who have been forgiven much, love much. Those who have been forgiven much, love much. I think it's time that we began to feel the forgiveness that is found through Jesus Christ. Why? Because there is freedom with it. Freedom to love. Freedom to serve. Freedom to show the same mercy and grace that we have received to others. If we're not merciful, if we don't have grace for others, if we can't forgive, perhaps it's because we haven't felt forgiven. Maybe we've confessed to Jesus, but we haven't received the forgiveness. We keep saying, I don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. Not me. Not me. I got to pay for this. I got to feel this. I really got to feel this guilt. I really got to feel this. I got to feel this pain. And all it's going to do is take you away from the love of God. All it's going to do is make you more judgmental of others because you've got to find some way to make yourself feel better. And the way to make yourself feel better when you're guilty is to make somebody else feel guilty, to say they're guilty and I'm better than they are. That's what happens. That's what happens. And that's what turns into religion. When rather than the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ ruling and reigning in our heart, then it becomes the law. Then it becomes all this and all that and all this and all that. And we begin to stand on our own righteousness and we begin to look down on others. Why? Because we haven't felt forgiven and we got to find some way to try to have this feeling of forgiveness that's aside from Jesus Christ, that's based on the law. And that's why Jesus Christ came. He said, listen, I'm doing what the law was unable to do. The law made you guilty. The law made you feel bad. The law didn't draw you near to me. The law kept making you feel as if you weren't worthy to be in my presence, but I came and I canceled the debt. I came to atone for your sin, and through the grace and the mercy of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven and free to draw near to me, because when you come into the presence of the righteous judge, you understand him not as judge, but as Father. Not as judge looking to deliver a verdict on your life to say you're not able to be in here. Get out of here. Get out of my presence. You can't be here. But no, as a father who says, come on. Come on, I want to love you. Come on into my presence. Come on, let me show you what this is all about. Come on. Come on. That's what it's all about. Why? Because mercy wins. James 2:13 says, mercy triumphs over judgment. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Hallelujah. And that's why we're going to come to the table of the Lord. I have more. I know it's in the app notes. We're going to do that next week. All right? I got a whole other sermon for next week because I only got through half. So that means you got to come back next week, all right? Or you got to listen online next week. I'd rather you come back and give to Convoy of Hope. Man, that's why. Because the table of the Lord is all about remembering the mercy of God, the atonement through his broken body and his shed blood that was personal, that was for you, that was for me. And it's all about remembering that we have been forgiven. It's all about remembering what Christ has done and that we are forgiven. Why? Because we got this adversary, his name's the devil, and he's an accuser. And he loves to whisper in your ear all the things that you did. And God didn't love you, and do you know you're bad? You can't do that. You haven't changed. You don't do this. You don't do that. How many heard that before, right? Shut your mouth, devil. I've been forgiven. Shut up. Right? Sometimes, I mean, I know we shouldn't use that word. We teach our kids, don't use that word, shut up. Let me tell you something. You can use that word with the devil. All right? Tell him, shut up. Shut up. Say, Holy Spirit, just like you closed the mouths of the lions for, you know, when Daniel was down in that, you got to close the mouth of the devil. Shut up. Quit. There is nothing to accuse me. It's under the blood. 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 Friends, do you realize as we receive communion and as we're going to worship in just a moment, I want you to focus on this. I want you to think about this and say, Jesus, help me. Help me to receive your forgiveness. Help me to feel your forgiveness. If you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Come on, let's get to communion. Father, we just thank you today. We thank you today that we can come before you at the table of the Lord. Father, as these elements are passed, as we're led in this time of worship, I pray that you would search our hearts. And Lord, if there's anything that maybe we haven't confessed, if there's anything, Lord, where we struggle to forgive ourselves, we think we don't deserve it, the enemy is just lying to us, I pray that you would speak truth. And that, Lord, not only would we know that we are forgiven in you, but God, you would allow us to feel and experience your forgiveness this morning through Christ Jesus. In your name, amen.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. We pray that you are encouraged and strengthened by God's word. For more information about Painesville Assembly of God, please visit PainesvilleAG.com.